This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. It is the job of a comedian to find humor in life's everyday experiences. But what happens when you want to talk about a not-so-funny experience?
Here's a little tidbit about me. I was diagnosed with bilateral breast cancer, and I ended up getting a double mastectomy. And before I had a double mastectomy, I was already pretty flat-chested. And I made so many jokes over the years about how small my chest was that I started to think that maybe my boobs overheard me and were just like, you know what? We're sick of this. Let's kill her.
Tig Notaro earlier this year performing on the TBS show Conan. Since going public with her diagnosis in 2012, Tig Notaro has been declared cancer-free. She's been named one of Rolling Stone's 50 funniest people, and now she has been included in Business Insider's list of 50 women who are changing the world. Tig Notaro has become a regular contributor to This American Life and The Moth. She has an upcoming project on the Showtime Network, and she's completing a memoir and currently on tour. You can see Tig Notaro tonight at the Carolina Theater in Durham at 8 o'clock, but first she's going to chat with us. Tig, welcome. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Your show has really evolved over the years. Can you give us a sense of the evolution of your comedy and kind of how it changed and what were some of the turning points?
Yeah, I started out pretty just deadpan, one-liner, typical joke kind of stuff. And then as time went on, I would have different ideas of things that I wanted to do that were outside of the deadpan, one-liner realm. And I decided to take my own advice, which I would tell anybody that they should try something new. And on Conan, I pushed a stool around the stage for 3 minutes and got some really hard laughter and also some uncomfortable silences. And then I also decided to do some storytelling, and I've gone on stage and told stories that are as long as 15 minutes. And then when I was diagnosed with cancer, I went on stage and decided to not just do typical, awkward, absurd comedy or one-liners or observational comedy. And I told more personal comedy about my life and my diagnosis and the other events that had unfolded in my life in the 4 months leading up to my diagnosis.
Well, there is a kind of a famous moment, at least in the telling of your story, as other people tell it, a show at Largo in L.A. 2 years ago. Tell us about that performance. Was that a turning point? Was that the first time that you'd really sort of spoke about your cancer, about your diagnosis?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had mainly just been home depressed, and I had just gone through 4 months of hell, basically. I had pneumonia, and then I contracted this potentially deadly illness called C. diff, where the bacteria just takes over your digestive tract and eats your insides, basically. I couldn't eat food and lost over 20 pounds and was hospitalized. And then when I got out of the hospital, a few days later, my mother tripped and hit her head, and she passed away. And then I went through a breakup a few weeks later, and then I was diagnosed with cancer. So,
and it was sort of in that moment that you took the stage. We have a clip from that performance in L.A. 2 years ago.
Hi, how are you? Is everybody having a good time? I have cancer. How are you? It's a good time. Diagnosed with cancer. Feels good. Just diagnosed with cancer. God. Oh, it's fine. Here's what happened. It's very personal. Found a lump. Guys, relax. Everything's fine. I have cancer. Found a lump. Got a mammogram. I ended up getting biopsies, which is painful. Feels like being stabbed. I felt like I'd been rear-ended all day and then just dropped off back at my house. I couldn't move or anything. And it was so like, intrusive and horrible. And I was just like, God, after all of these like ice pick stabbing feelings, I better have cancer. Somebody over here just keeps going, oh. Oh, I think she might really have cancer. Who's taking this really bad? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay. It might not be okay, but I'm just saying. It's okay.
Tig Notaro from a show at Largo in L.A. 2 years ago. You can see her at the Carolina Theater tonight in Durham. I have to say, Tig, I just heard from you that you were diagnosed with breast cancer, C. diff. You had broken up a very important relationship and you lost your mother. Uh-huh. So one must feel sorry for you. But I have to say, I began to feel even more for that audience because they came expecting a comedian and her first words are, how does an audience react to what they expect to be a comedian announcing that they have this horrible diagnosis?
It was a roller coaster of a show. It's nothing for anyone interested in the show tonight at the Carolina Theater. It's not going to be.
You're not going to do that again?
No. Yeah. That was a moment in time. I was really on my knees in life, and it was just a roller coaster of a show, but the audience didn't know if I was kidding or what was going on, and the more I talked and shared my story, the more they realized it was true, and I was trying to find the humor in what I was going through, and that audience was really, really phenomenal and carried me through that moment in time.
Well, and as you say, your act has evolved since then, and that's what you'll hear tonight won't be that. But in many ways, you're still engaging the audience in that kind of liminal space where discomfort and storytelling meet the sort of the crazy, the humorous moments. Huh? Is that something you struggle to find? Do you just tell the story and hope that it emerges? Are you looking for the humor? How does that work?
Well, I mean, that particular night 2 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing or how I was going to do it. And I just had jotted down notes from the moment I got the phone call until I stepped on stage, which was actually several days before the show. But I had this, piece of paper full of notes. And I went on stage and just touched on the different points and just tried to make light of it. There's kind of a fight or flight feeling on stage when you don't really have something worked out or a punchline picked out for something, and you have to just kind of, something pops up or flies out of your mouth. Right. And hopefully it works. And
Desperation makes geniuses of us all sometimes.
Yeah.
But the other interesting thing about that performance is that you knew that Louis C.K. was going to be there that night. Did you know in advance that he was going to be there? Because he did talk about it glowingly afterward.
Well, yeah, it was my own show. It was a show called Tig Has Friends, and it was Louis and Bill Burr and Mary Lynn Rice Cub and Ed Helms from The Office. I had several friends on the show, so I had invited all of them to be on the show. Just nobody knew what I had been going through.
So you've been working on a memoir as well that centers on that 4 months of your life when your mother passed away.
Yeah.
And that whole period. Is that an entirely different experience? I mean, in so much of what you do is memoir on stage, but is it different when you sit down to write about it?
I mean, stand-up is an live performance. It's just the broad strokes of everything, and writing a book it was me raking through every little moment of those 4 months, and it was actually quite therapeutic for me. And it was a grind to write that, but it was really an experience I appreciated having, and I actually think I'd like to continue writing books. But I think it comes out next year.
You're also working on a project with Showtime called Knock Knock. It's Tig Notaro. Tell us about that.
I've done tours in the past where I go to my fan bases, to their homes, and do shows in their living rooms and basements, rooftops, barns, whatever. Wherever they set the stage, I show up a half hour before Showtime, and then they invite the people and throw the party, and I perform for everyone. And Showtime bought it as a special, so it's a road trip showing me going to different people's homes. And so, yeah, it's something I've done several times in the past, but this time it was filmed.
Where did the idea for that show come from?
An old friend of mine wanted to tour together, and I had known about musicians and folk singers doing house concerts, and I didn't know of comedians doing it yet, and so I suggested it to her, and she loved the idea, and we just kind of, you know, snagged that idea from the folk singer world.
We have talked about the evolution of your performance and your art. You did not make your gender identification or your sexual identification an important part of your show early on. That has changed since. Was that a kind of a turning point for you? Did you have to sit down and make a conscious decision, or did that just sort of happen over time?
Well, it was beyond that. It was just my personal life I didn't really go into. And then when I felt like I had lost everything and really had nothing left to lose, I just shared my entire life with that room at Largo. And I had no idea that I'm not on Twitter, and I didn't really think about the fact that there would be people tweeting or blogging. And so it just, the idea of the show went viral, and it, all of a sudden I was sharing my personal story with the whole world, and everybody was so, from strangers to fans to the press, they were all so helpful during that time, and it made me realize just the strength and power of being a more open person. Not that I need to share every detail from here on out, but it was eye-opening.
Talking with comedian Tig Notaro today on The State of Things. Her live performance tonight at the Carolina Theater is in Durham at 8 o'clock. You know, I can hear some people saying, well, how do you even turn that stuff into humor? Or why would you think that that's the material, the grist for comedy? But it does seem to me that humor has a long history in truth-telling, and particularly the truth that people don't want to hear. The court jester is all about getting the message to the king that the rest of the courtiers are too afraid to tell him or her. And I just wonder if that's kind of what it feels like to you, that people are actually, even in your audiences, I mean, it may be great for you, but in the audience, people are sort of yearning to get to a truth that they're in some ways concealing from themselves.
Oh, I think for sure. I think realize certain truths about themselves and the world in a comedy show that hadn't even surfaced for them, and you see it in really interesting, you know, there's so many different kinds of laughter that break out in a show, and you see people really experiencing something interesting with the level of laughter that's coming out, and it obviously is a connection for them and a level of awakening that they're experiencing.
That's interesting. Can you said different kinds of laughter, and it never occurred to me, but a comedian must be sensitive to that. You must have a pretty good ear for whether it's a nervous laugh or a sort of a drunken laugh. I mean, that sort of thing. Do you have a pretty good ear for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel completely one with the audience. I feel like I can feel every person in there. And hypersensitive to people's feelings in there and what kind of laughter they're
Have you gotten wildly different responses to the same material, different kinds of laughs from different audiences?
Yeah, but then there's the tried and true laugh that comes out. I kind of know what kind of laugh is going to come for each thing, but every now and then there's a surprise curveball in there where I'm like, wow, that person's hearing something for the first time or something different than we are.
Could it throw you off? I mean, if you're expecting the ha-ha laugh and you get the more nervous, you know, sort of let me out of here laugh, does that throw you off for the night?
I mean, it can definitely get my attention, but it's whether or not I want to allow myself to be taking a detour and examining that and talk to that person, like, what is going on with you? So it's really an interesting experience every night.
Very thoughtful.
I do a lot of, there's stuff that's planned, but I also am very improvisational on stage as well. So every show is different.
Tig, great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Comedian Tig Notaro talking about her new tour, Boyish Girl Interrupted, and her distinctive brand of humor. You can see Tig tonight at the Carolina Theater, 8 o'clock in Durham. More information at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Alex Curley's the intern. Robin Copley's the technical director. Brent Wolf is our news director. And North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.